heard it on American Voice Radio. Welcome to the Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour, broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is December 18, 2008. You know, I'm truly amazed at the people who are not homeless that are coming in to our mission church for dinner and food boxes now. I guess the word's just got out in the neighborhood. Mom has not turned anyone away, but Tuesday she told me that she had ran out of food, didn't have no more for food boxes, and that was it. Well, you know what? She made at least four more after that. But praise the Lord, and some money came in a little bit afterward to buy some more. But anyway, With no food, it doesn't matter if it's the food boxes or the pot on the stove she serves dinner out of. You know, she's like Jesus with the fishes, you know. She just never seems to run out. It's really pretty miraculous. And when she gets done, then it's usually all gone. But we're usually done and everybody's been fed. But we do need your help because December is the slowest month for donations. Remember that our mission to the homeless and poor only survives through your kind gifts. And we need your prayers and continued support to stay open. So please lift up the Mission Outreach Church in Wichita up to prayer and see if you're led to help. I don't want anything that the Father doesn't want us to have. So pray about it. Also, if you're blessed by this radio program or any of our programs, remember, while many listen on the Internet live or in archives, this is a real live radio program covering North America by KU-band satellite. So please consider supporting our airtime. You can donate online by PayPal or find our mailing address at our website, which is simply messiahsbranch.org. And I also want to really thank all of you people out there that pray for us and support us. We really couldn't survive if it wasn't for you doing what the Lord puts on your heart. And now we'll go to our lead-in. Saints, as you know, and we've been saying it for a while, the world is in very great turmoil. Most don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end. So it's time to come out of Babylon, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Please make this choice tonight, and that's a serious thing. If you need help after the program, call me, and I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682, and you can go to our website and email me and send me your phone number. That's usually an easier way to catch me, and then I can call you back when I've got the time. But anyway, now for a prayer so we can get on with our guest that I've been really waiting to hear from. Now for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray, I ask that what comes out on this program is not what I want, but what you want. And I thank you so much for our time with the world this week. Amen and amen. Tonight's guest has been on radio with us before in April, and that was of this year. He talked about at that time, has the gospel been lost and the coming collapse? Well, at that time, he was residing in the USA, and he came here expecting a soon revival, I think he said, and he wanted to be part of it. A few days after the last program he did with me, he moved back to New Zealand. Tonight, he is back talking with us about how to survive the Depression. By his word, he is a revivalist. So I now welcome Andrew Strom. Are you there with me, Andrew?
Yes, good to be back.
Well, praise the Lord. It's good to have you back on, and I did get that right. You are in, Auckland, New Zealand?
That's right. I'm down here in New Zealand right now. It's heading into summertime. The sun is shining brightly, and it's about 2 p.m. in the afternoon.
Wow, the sun is shining bright. I'm waiting on an ice storm to blow through where I'm at, brother. I really am. It's really nice to know you're out there in the sun. But so while we're talking about New Zealand, how has the economic collapse hit you people at all?
Yeah, it's hitting, but I would say we're about 1 year behind the USA. I was also over in United Kingdom recently, and I'd say maybe they're about 6 months or so behind. The USA is really where things have started, and it's gone pretty bad, you know, especially in recent times. But as you said earlier, you know, we've been predicting this collapse, talking about it for quite some time, and it's been quite shocking, the speed, especially in September, you know, to have Fannie Mae and the mortgage industry just, you know, those huge, massive, I mean, they're the biggest mortgage giants in the world, to have them collapse and fail. And then, of course, you've had Washington Mutual, you've had AIG, you've had Lehman Brothers, and you name it. I mean, everything's just fallen apart. And so it's affecting the whole world dramatically, and New Zealand's housing market now, it's almost possible to sell a house, and it's going that way in Australia, Canada, all across Europe. There's been big housing bubbles all over the world, and so what we're finding is that there's going to be a massive worldwide financial crisis that just lasts for years and years, and people are expecting that the recession will end late next year or something like that. There's absolutely no chance of that.
Let me intercede for a moment. It's kind of amazing how you say that, you know, it hit the United States first. At one time, the United States was considered the house of God, sending missionaries out to everybody else in the world. And we do know that the Word of God says judgment comes first to the house of God. And by far, the worst of it hasn't even, you know, manifested itself here yet.
No, that's right. It's definitely not gotten anywhere near its peak yet. If you think about it this way, this downturn is extremely similar to the Great Depression, and it's already showing all the same signs in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think about the Great Depression, the crash happened in 1929. You know, our crash just happened, I guess you could say, in September, although I think things were kind of, in a way, further along. You know, they were quite bad already.
Right.
But the crash really started in September. Well, you know, back in the Great Depression, it took about 2 or 3 years for it to get really down to its worst level, around about 1932, 1933,
right.
You know, which were the Dust Bowl years, and farmers walking off their farms, children dressing in sacks because there's no, their parents can't afford clothes for them,
mm-hmm.
People in queues around the block waiting for the Salvation Army just to give them, you know, a cup of soup or whatever.
Right.
And so we've never ever seen anything like that. I mean, we've had recessions since then, but we've never had another depression.
Right.
And that was a worldwide depression. It affected New Zealand and Australia and all these other nations. So this is heading in that same direction. And people find that very hard to believe. But I believe we're going to face, even in the Western nations, I believe there's going to be food shortages. In fact, I believe the danger of that is actually not that far away. And and that's because right now shipping is already being affected, and
right.
You know, the shipping index has fallen 94% in about 6 months, so it's just crashed, completely crashed, and the shipping companies aren't making any money. So what's happening is a lot of the shipping that used to send all of the grain and the coal and other things, the steel around the world, is starting to slow down dramatically, and so, you know, there's all of these factors coming into play. But you know, as I say, we predicted this, and really we predicted
right.
it based on spiritual
Amen.
Principles, and it's a spiritual problem, and most of the problems involved with this are spiritual problems.
Right, I wholeheartedly agree. So why don't you address that, and we'll go back into it. So what do you think the biggest spiritual problem behind this? What caused it?
Well, you know, greed is the number one thing, and.
Amen.
And sadly, in the church, we've actually encouraged greed. If you look at what we've been preaching, and especially in the last, I would say, 20 to 30 years, with the rise of the prosperity gospel, but even without that, you know, there's a lot of churches don't believe in prosperity gospel, but they're still encouraging their members to, you know, to get blessed financially and live a comfortable life, and God
right.
wants to, you know, God wants you to have that extra car, and, you know, God wants you to be well off, and, you know, it's all a big blessing. Well, you know, Jesus very clearly said you cannot serve God and mammon.
Amen.
And what we have is we have a gospel that promotes Jesus, and off on the side it's also promoting mammon, and it's not treating mammon as being an enemy of God, which it is. You know, mammon is actually
right.
a competing God. And Jesus said, you either serve me or you serve mammon. You know, we're in competition with each other. We don't coexist together. You've got to make a choice. And so because the church and because the culture has just so embraced materialism and consumerism and just shallow fashions and you know, entertainment,
right.
pleasure-seeking, at the expense of God, you know, we find that that's why the country is in the mess it's in. I mean, I lived in America for 4 years. I still love the nation of America, and of course I come from a developed industrial nation of New Zealand. You know, we're a pretty wealthy nation ourselves.
Let me ask you a question. Didn't you tell me before in the program? And also remember, you did the first program you did with me was on Has the Gospel Been Lost? But my question for you is this. Didn't you came to America expecting, you know, a revival, and you wanted to be part of that? So why did you leave?
Well, that's a good question. We left only because we believed God was telling us to. But part of the reason is that I'd spent 4 years, even earlier than that, because I used to visit, I visited America for long periods of time before we moved there. So all that time, I was actually, what happened to me, actually before my first visit, I woke up in the morning one morning with a message for America that God had given me in my sleep. Mm-hmm. And that hardly ever happens to me. It's very rare.
Right.
And so what it was about was this, that every 50 years, God was telling me in my sleep, every 50 years, America has had an awakening or a great revival. And I was thinking through the history. When I woke up, I thought, I wonder if that's true. I'll go and check the history, because I've studied revival for many years, but I'd never thought of that. And it was like there was a 50-year or like a jubilee cycle going in America of these revivals.
Right.
And I thought back, I thought, yeah, the last huge revival was the healing revival of the 1950s. And before that, it was the huge, Azusa Street, Pentecostal movement back in 100 years ago. And before that, it was the Great Prayer Revival, 1850. And before that, it was the Second Great Awakening, and before that, it was the First Great. So we've got 250 years of this pattern where God has been sending, you know, this Great Awakening or just a great revival, great wave of revival, roughly every 50 years, and it goes way back to the 1700s. You can trace it back, and you can see these great waves coming.
Right.
And God sent me over to America basically to preach. Unless America repents, unless the church starts really crying out and really desiring to hear from the real prophets of God, the real repentance preachers, America's going to miss this next wave that God wants to send. And in fact, the 50 years is now up. You know, if you look back, see, 100 years ago in 1906 was the Azusa Street Revival, and 50 years ago was the Healing Revival. Well, we've actually virtually missed the window that opens for the 50-year awakening to come around. And so I spent basically 5 years in America preaching that message in various ways and crying out that, you know, we need repentance preachers. We need the holiness revival guys that we used to have, like Charles Finney and George Whitfield and Jonathan Edwards, those kind of guys. We've got to get them back again, and we've got to encourage and desire that kind of preaching again, because we've gone right away from it. People just want their ears tickled now.
Right.
They don't want to hear that kind of preaching. And the people aren't praying desperately either. Everybody's too comfortable to really cry out God desperately for revival. And so we're just not desperate enough. And I was preaching this nonstop, really, in various ways, right through the time I was there. It got to the point where it was almost like I could feel God pushing us out, pushing us out of America, where I had no intention of leaving. Our original design was to come there and live there, get a permanent residency and all that kind of thing, and just stay, and I was very, very reluctant to leave, but it was sort of like God was making it clearer and clearer. You know, you've spoken the message, you've had little response, you've gotten it out very widely. I mean, we've got a huge email list that goes out worldwide, and a big website that gets a lot of hits on it and everything, and the message became well known in a lot of, circles, I guess, the prophetic and revival type circles knew that kind of message, but there just wasn't the response, and I just had to, in the end, just kind of shrug my shoulders and just say, God, I feel like you're sending us away, and I feel like it's been a failure,
Right. You was on the last program, you was talking about whether you hadn't decided anyway on the program whether you was going to leave or not, but you was, but within a couple of days you were gone. kind of shocked me. But let me say this. Do you think this is be a possibility? You know, I see this in the with some of the homeless that I work with, that God, because he wants to get through to certain people, he'll take away their things to try to get their attention. Do you think that prayerfully that maybe now, since they don't want to repent on their own, do you think that there's a chance, because I know this was even in Time magazine, that the people will turn to real repentance when they start losing their entertainment and losing all these things? Do you think it'll turn them back to a revival?
Yeah.
Or not? You do?
I think it will greatly increase. I think it'll increase the hunger, the spiritual hunger that people have. And you're right. We see this all the time. You know, if you talk to a lot of people and say, okay, why did you become a Christian? And quite a few of them will say, well, you know, I just got to the point where I just reached rock bottom. You know, I just ran out of options, and I lost everything, and I just had to come to my senses and start seeking God, you know. And you talk, you know, there's a lot of people in the world who had to get to that point. And basically, we've got today a church that desperately needs to get to that point, you know, because we're no longer hungry after God. We're no longer willing to really go all the way for God. We still want our comforts and our pleasures, you know, in a very shallow kind of way. You know, we don't want the hard preaching. We don't want piercing repentance. We don't want we don't want the inner man to really live in holiness before God. We sort of stop short of that, and we think it's okay, and it's kind of a false Christianity that, you know, that...
Well, it's not really the gospel. Let me intercede for just a moment. I had a thought before I lose it. You know, the churches, you know, the way with the mega churches and everything, you know, they're in competition, you know, and I heard this myself when I was invited to local churches would meet as a club, you know, to see what they could do to better the neighborhood. And basically all they talked about was, well, how many people, do you lose any people this week? Well, we gained this or whatever. But they're in competition with each other instead of trying to go out and save sinners. They were more in competition of keeping the people that were supposedly already saved. And I say supposedly because, you know, with these kind of preaching, you know, you really can't be sure. But anyway, so they're in competition with each other. So if a person preaches, well, you need to get rid of that and quit doing those ways, then the people can just go to the church down the street and hear a doctrine that they want, and maybe even get a swimming pool with it. In the case in Wichita, you can go to one and get a swimming pool and a tennis court and all this inside of one church. And it's the poor part of town where we're at, but yet people come all parts of town and go to it, but yet there's poor right out on the streets and everything, you know, so it really doesn't make sense.
Yeah, you know, well, and that's exactly right. In other words, we've stopped preaching the gospel of the cross, where you have to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. We've stopped preaching that. We've started instead preaching, come to Jesus, he wants to fulfill all your selfish goals, and he wants to make, you know, he only exists just to make you happy, and you know, God is just your big buddy, and he doesn't judge sin anymore. He's all that kind. Basically, we're preaching a false God and a false gospel, and it's producing terrible fruit. I think that a lot of the problem in America can be taken back to the fact that the church is no longer preaching repentance, and so as the church stops preaching repentance, the entire culture starts getting infected with huger and greater degrees of sin until God brings judgment. And we're seeing judgment start. I believe there's going to be 7 years of terrible crisis. So I would start the clock on that from September, when I believe that, you know, the depression crash started. I mean, there was already a recession going before that, but it was just it was only a recession. It wasn't a depression. It became a depression in September when everything started to fall over, and we had the stock market dropped 777 points in one day, which I believe God's signature was on that. You know, 777 points. That's the biggest single point loss, you know, in history. God put his signature on that and said, you know what, I'm the one who's sending your economy down, because you guys will not listen to me and you will not repent, and you're full of comfort and materialism and mammon, and unless you get rid of that, you know, you're not coming back. So that's what I believe God was saying.
Right, amen. I agree. Now, just a couple of comments, because we only got about a minute and a half, but before break anyway. When you were talking about earlier, you were speaking and saying what the preachers were saying to him. You know, that reminded me of I think it was an Outer Limits program I watched way, way, way back, where the devil was making a deal with somebody, and he was saying, you know, well, you know, I'll give you everything that you want. All you got to do is give me your soul, something you won't notice anyway. And, you know, that sounds like the devil's gospel, not our gospel. You know what I'm saying? The devil's out there. He's the one that says, I'll give you everything if you'll just follow me. That's what he said to Christ. If you'll follow me, I'll give you, you know, all these things. When he took him up on the mountaintop, you know, and had him look down and took him up on the pinnacle, he looked down and he said, I'll give you all these things. And that was the devil, right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And that's the false gospel. It kind of, it's a sugar-coated gospel. It's not the truth anymore. And it names the name of Jesus, but it no longer follows him. It no longer imitates Christ. It doesn't take up its cross anymore. It's a gospel, really, that it's very hollow.
Right.
And, you know.
Let me break in. We're going to have to go to break here in about 10 seconds or so. Why don't you give us your website real quick, and it'll be about time for break.
Okay. It's revivalschool.com.
That's real simple. Revivalschool.com. And I really suggest you go over there. I was over there looking again today. Got some wonderful things. Join the list, and we're off to break time.
Don't go away. Pastor Dan will be right back. Can your family survive a food shortage lasting 2 weeks, 6 months, or maybe longer? Sound far-fetched? We live in precarious times. There is an ever-increasing possibility of food shortages caused by terrorist attacks, natural disasters, truck strikes, or monetary collapse. You owe it to yourself and family to prepare, and you can by getting a supply of our long-storing, freeze-dried, dehydrated foods. Our foods are time-tested to store for decades, require a minimum of time and energy to prepare while maintaining superior nutritional value, freshness, and taste. Our foods were designed for the space program and are in constant use today by our own nuclear submarine service. Contact the Freeze Dry Guy today at freezedryguy@landset.com. That's freezedryguy@landset.com or call 530-265-8333. 530-265-8333 and let them know you heard it on American Voice Radio.
The headlines are clear. The worldwide economic collapse is here. The military is being positioned for martial law. The mark of the beast is at hand. Governments are calling for a new world cashless economic system. Having a long-term food solution is your only hope to stay free. Now, Survivalist Seeds introduces their Escape the Beast Kit, 24 varieties of all-natural, non-genetically modified heirloom seeds. For true patriots and homesteaders wanting food insurance. That's over 5 pounds of rare historic seeds for a penny per seed. 15,000 seeds that will feed a family healthy food for 7 years. Big John Lipska, host of Don't Tread on Me, is including an instructional DVD that will teach you how to earn big money, selling the produce from his incredible heirloom seeds back to him, restaurants, and small delis. Don't buy from copycat. Their fancy packaging is not free. Order today before it's too late. SurvivalistSeeds.com. That's SurvivalistSeeds.com. A long-term food solution.
The rising cost of living and especially food have the experts worried and advising every family to have at least 6 to 9 months worth of emergency food and water on hand. A good supply of emergency food is dehydrated, easy to store, and does not require cooking. Stand-up dehydrated food pouches are an excellent choice and are also portable for your emergency bug-out packs. Just open the vacuum-sealed pouch, add water, stir, and eat a tasty, protein-rich entree from the stand-up pouch. If you want a hot meal, use the reusable flameless oven. Order the best dehydrated emergency food on the market now. Call Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or online at thepowerherbs.com. Be prepared with dehydrated stand-up food pouches with a 10-year shelf life. You'll be glad you did. 866-229-3663, or online at thepowerherbs.com.
You're listening to the best in alternative talk radio, AVR, the American Voice Radio Network. Listen online at TheAmericanVoice.com. We're on KU Band Satellite, Galaxy 25, Transponder 5, Frequency 11836. And remember, AVR is free for all, Anti-New World Order Saturdays.
Back. This is Pastor Dan, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Remember to consider a donation tonight for our work with the homeless and poor in Wichita. And now we're back with Andrew Strom, live from New Zealand. And it's nice and warm over there, and praise the Lord for you. Amen. Are you there with us, Andrew?
Yep, I'm here.
I'm still thinking about your comment about being warm, and I'm waiting for my ice storm, but that's all right. Lord's got it taken care of. But anyway, we've been talking, for those that you haven't, that maybe just now turning in, we've been talking about revival, maybe in the midst of this collapse. And you just got through saying that you think that there's going to be 7 years of crisis. Do you want to elaborate any on that? Would that be a good place to take back off?
Yeah, I really believe that very strongly. So, you know, we're talking about a very, very long period of crisis before there's any even real beginnings of an emergence out of it. And even there, you know, God is looking for a response. He's looking for a heart response from America that has to go a lot deeper than what happened after 9/11. I mean,
right.
I just recently published an article talking about, you know, there are already signs that church attendance is growing because people are worried about the future and so on. That kind of response happened after 9/11, but it was very short-lived. It's
right.
Almost like, it seems like foxhole religion where, you know, in a war or in a crisis, people suddenly want to pray all of a sudden, but they forget about God again when the times get good again, and God's not going to allow that this time. He's looking for a real, genuine heart change that is very deep, and really, I believe what we're seeing is something very shattering that's going to bring a lot of brokenness, a lot of desperation, a lot of hunger physically, and a lot of hunger spiritually to the nation. And I don't believe America will ever be the same again.
Probably not. Let me intercede with something I know you'll probably want to comment on. I believe that part of the judgment that America is getting for lack of repentance is this president they've just voted for, and here's why I say that. You know, he's pro-abortion, and, you know, in fact, he's, you know, for just about everything that Christians are for. You understand? He's for that, but, I mean, he's against what the Christians want. And so a lot of people, even Christians that voted for him, and they said it was Christians that voted for him that really didn't know how Christians supposed to act. But regardless, we voted this man in. So many people are hailing him as Savior and even Messiah. And I think this is part of the judgment that's going to come to America and to the Christians that's coming. What do you think?
I agree. But I also want to caution as well that the people that think that, you know, the Republican Party doesn't have doesn't have links with a lot of this garbage as well, especially the money men of the world, you know, deeply involved in the Republican Party and have been. You know, I wish one thing would happen, that we would kind of get away from looking at politics, because what America desperately needs is really a
spiritual
awakening. And you know, I was quite upset for a while that people were so keen on looking to George Bush for answers that seemed to me to be only spiritual answers that, you know, God alone could bring. But for a long time, you know, it's worn off now because obviously it really wasn't worth trusting in politics. It was proven it wasn't worth trusting in politics to bring about those solutions. But for so long, many American Christians that I talked to, it was like, you know, it was almost as though George Bush could have brought a revival to the nation. And the fact of the matter is, George Bush can't do that. He's not a preacher. He's just a president. And he, you know, what we desperately need is actual prophets and real apostles
Amen.
From God with a message
Amen.
that really pierces people's hearts. We need prayer and back in the churches. I mean, people say, oh, we've got to get prayer back in the schools. My answer to that is, well, why isn't there desperate prayer in the churches? I mean, we don't even have that, you know.
Yeah, amen.
And there's nothing stopping that going on, but we get caught up and distracted by all these things. I think Obama's whole presidency will be dominated by the economy. I think it's going to be so bad for so long that he's not going to be able to concentrate on hardly anything else. I mean, there'll be a few things, but he's going to be absolutely shoehorned into economic crisis mode for years. You know, and
Let me say this. In fact, you did hit the nail on the head when you said this about, you know, Bush bringing revival and you know, people looking to the problem of looking to the government for solutions that are spiritual. It's like this. The church, I believe, that's their problem with the government. The government started doing things and, you know, like doing welfare and doing, you know, taking care of the poor and doing things that the church did for such a long time or, you know, for as long as there's been a church. But when the government in America started taking over those jobs, so to speak, the church got away from doing it. And that, to me, was when we seen a real change around in the church. And so now, you know, we don't look for the church for those problems. We look for the government when there's a problem instead of looking for the church and looking to God for the problem and repent of the mere fact that we even look for the government for the problem in the first place. So I believe that you're hitting the problem right on the head. It's a spiritual problem. You can't go to a president for it. You got to go to God. And amen.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's been an ongoing problem, you know. I question, you know, a lot of people say, well, everything would be different if we'd only got, this, is she a senator? Senator from Alaska.
Oh, right. McCain,
you know, Sarah Palin. If only we'd managed to elect her I want to say, things would not be different because the church still is filled with the love of money, and she wasn't going to change that. And you know, this is a spiritual crisis. It's not in essence a political crisis. It's actually, there's a spiritual crisis at the heart of America. America used to be a godly nation, and to a very large degree has allowed money to come into the church and compromise. And sin has flooded into the nation, and America is now exporting, you know, the sickest movies and the sickest TV programs.
Amen.
And the sickest music all around the world. All the kids all around the world, even in Nigeria. When I go to Nigeria, there's young Nigerian kids that are being ruined by watching
American TV.
You know, violent rap videos full of sex, full of everything you can imagine, and they're sitting there in Nigeria watching American rap videos. Now, God's judgment is coming because America used to produce a lot of righteousness in the earth, and now
Amen.
America is producing a lot of darkness in the earth,
Amen.
And a lot of it's funded by money, and God's going to hit the root of the problem. He's going to take the money away. He's going to shake the church so hard people feel like it's almost been shaken to pieces. He's gonna shake the culture and try and shake all that sick humanism and selfishness and greed out of the culture so that America gets back to being the kind of nation that that shines a light in the world instead of shining darkness in the world.
Yeah, amen.
And
I agree. That's
so
really it.
That's what's underway, and it's gonna be very severe because God's already looked at what happened after 9/11 and the shaking wasn't strong enough because the people just went back to, you know, they were praying maybe for a few months and then sort of forgot about it and went back to being complacent again.
Amen.
And so the shaking's
got to be harder
this time.
Do you think that there's people should be lovers of the truth? I'm sure you agree with that. Do you think that there's many people that really love the truth or are really into fables right now?
Well, you know, again, that is the problem. I mean, you know, one of the big questions I have about America, and I would preach on this topic, I would say, you know, if John the Baptist, this piercing prophet of repentance, if John the Baptist came to America today, would we run to him or would we run away from him? And, you know, would we try and keep him out of the churches and everything, or would we actually embrace the message And you see, when John the Baptist came to Jerusalem and Judea area, it says that all of Jerusalem and all of Judea went out to John to be baptized of him. You know, and he was rebuking people right and left and calling them vipers and snakes and hypocrites and everything, and preaching a very piercing message. And, you know, that's what Charles Finney was like. And that's what Jonathan Edwards was like. And so if we're going to have real revival, we need these prophets back again. Of course, they're like, you know, they're New Testament prophets, but they still preach this powerful kind of message. And I really question, and I would ask this question in preaching, I would say, does America anymore, can America even stomach this kind of radical preaching that it really needs to get out of this pit that it's in? But, you know, I can't imagine America running to John the Baptist today. I think that America wants to turn their back on anything that is uncomfortable or that kind of pricks the bubble or shows people the real state of their hearts or whatever, or questions the whole lifestyle that they're living and all that. I think that Americans now, and Westerners in general, I include New Zealand and every Australia and all of that, I think there's a running away from truth. And until this depression does its full work in breaking that down, in breaking the selfishness and greed away from people, I think they won't be ready to really embrace that hard message. And a lot of pastors won't preach it, of course. We've got a lot of useless preachers in the land, sadly, and a lot of hirelings. What's a hireling? It's someone that just works for the money,
right?
And it's just a job. It's not, and it's a career instead of being, you know, a passionate preaching of truth. It's not that anymore. And so we've got to get rid of these hirelings. We've got to get the prophets preaching truth. We've got to get the old revivalists back preaching a very piercing word on sin, and we've got to get the people praying again. Well, I can see why it needs to be a very, very long, dark, painful time to get all of that, you know, corrected, and then people will be ready, I think, for a real revival. That's what I'm hoping for.
Amen.
And of course, America might just refuse that, and God will come back and say, listen, are you gonna receive my prophets now? Are you gonna receive a piercing word now, or am I just going to sink you into the sea and you'll just be gone? You know,
right.
That's what we're facing now.
Amen. I wholeheartedly agree, and I think that's basically coming on the world as a whole. But I know it's got to come to America first. I think we'll see the churches. You know, a lot of churches are built right on credit. You know, where they built. And another thing, I think they're gonna suffer from their own doctrines of telling people they should be comfortable with money and things, because I think that the people themselves that are supporting the church, when their finances start going down, I think they're gonna start with not tithing and not doing as many offerings to keep their things that they've got. And I think that they'll give up those things last. But like you say, it's gonna take a while, because all those things are gonna have to be broken, and we're gonna have to turn back God, you know. But to do that, we have to get the stuff out of the way. We've got to get all this self-pleasure and all these things out of the way and put God first.
Absolutely. And, you know, in the meantime, I guess, you know, we should probably start talking as well about God's remnant who really are seeking God and but are still caught in the middle of a nation that's about to go through a gigantic depression and, you know, a slowdown like we've never seen in 80 years.
Right.
You know, and notice even the economists are coming out. There's a few economists now. They're saying similar things. So they say it's going to be really terribly bad. But, you know, the remnant of God doesn't want his remnant being shattered in the same way that everybody else gets shattered and broken to pieces. And you know, he wants that process to, you know, to do its work in his people and in the culture. But I really believe it's a time where God's true people can really rise up and shine. And a lot of that has to do with ministering to the poor, because we're going to have record numbers of people unemployed like we haven't seen for 80 years. We're going to have record numbers of people that are desperate, that used to have a good job, that used to have a nice house or whatever, and now they've lost everything, and they're just the government eventually will hardly be able to cope with the numbers of people that will be seeking help. And you know, the church has a choice of being either being selfish and just go, you know, going down the tubes as the culture goes down the tubes, or starting to shine that light of ministering in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's very important. There's got to be miracles and healings. There's got to be the true gospel being preached, a piercing gospel of repentance, but also a helping of the poor. And, you know, the original church, they fed the widows of Jerusalem every day. They fed the widows of Jerusalem. And, we've got to get back to a church that just glorifies God by ministering to the poor. And this is our great opportunity for the remnant of God, the real Christians, the people that really are praying, the people that really don't, seek after money and mammon, but they really seek after God. Those people, it's time to gather themselves together, you know, in groups here and there, and just pray to God about how they can minister to the poor and start ministering the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
To the poor people that are going to be everywhere in this crisis.
Amen. Recently, the Lord put it on my heart. I'm writing a letter to the other churches in Wichita and going to express to them the need for right now opening at least each one of them doing, you know, even half of what I do. Churches that are all prosperous, and opening their doors to the poor, and that this is the time that the church needs to come forward and help the poor, because, you know, of what we've been talking about. And I'm just praying that, you know, I don't know that I'll get a great response from it, and I'm not expecting anything for our ministry or anything from that message, but I'm just praying that it will reach a few of the churches, and they do decide to open their doors as such. And if not, at least that I feel like I warned them, you know.
Well, I'm glad you warned them, brother, because, you know, prophetically speaking, I believe the churches that do not help the poor in this crisis, God's just going to be finished with them.
Yeah,
he's not going to put up with this garbage anymore. This is, you know, this is a once-in-a-century crisis that we're talking about. And if there's Christian people that are not willing to help the poor at a time like this, I'm sorry, you know, they're not the church of God anymore. They're not Jesus's church anymore. They're just proving to the world that they don't deserve to have that name attached to them, because it's just so obvious in Scripture. I mean, Jesus talks about it again and again. He says, "Sell what you have and give to the poor." And he talks, you know, in the parable of the sheep and the goats, is talking about judgment being based on whether people have helped the poor or not helped the poor. And there's this most severe judgment at the end of time over this question. And so, you know, I encourage people to read Matthew chapter 25. They'll see the sheep and the goats. What's it about? It's about whether you as a Christian have helped the poor, and it's, you know, it's central to a lot of the Gospels, and we forget that. We think the Gospel is just about kind of getting saved, and, you know, I believe a lot of people aren't even getting saved at all. They might pray a little prayer, and they think they're okay with God, but they're not obeying God. They're not doing the will of God. They're not making Jesus the total, absolute Lord of their life. They're keeping parts of themselves under their own control. They want to live for themselves with their own agenda, and
they're not truly dying,
you know,
and being born again.
Yeah, it's not real. It's not real Christianity. It's not discipleship of any kind. It's, you know, Jesus said to go in all the world and make disciples. Well, we don't make disciples anymore. We just make churchgoers who go to a big building on Sundays and they all think that they're saved and they all sing hallelujah. Well, you know, that's not it. And that's not what Jesus ever spoke about. He spoke about discipleship and taking up your cross and going where God sends you and doing what he wants you to do. And it may well be painful, but do it. So, yeah, we've lost all of that. God's going to bring it back. He's going to bring it back the hard way, because he's tried all of the, you know, he's run out of the small bullets in his gun, because he's tried all the things that should have brought repentance or should have made people stop and pray and think. And now he's got to pull out the bazooka, because, or maybe the nuclear weapons, you know.
Yeah, amen.
Try and
that could
try
be
and
on
wake the
agenda.
Country up.
That could be on the agenda, nuclear weapons. We don't know. I do believe, I'm with you. I don't know how long this period of time is going to be, but I know we're just on the very first of it. We're facing something really hard. A lot of Christians have not come to that really, or people that think they're saved, whatever, have not come to, even the remnant have not come to the realization that this is it, that this is going to last, and they need to get, repent, as you say, and get ready. People think they're saved, as you said, but they're not, because while they may repent at that moment and say, okay, Lord, I'm a sinner, and repent of their sins past, they forget they've got to turn themselves away from sin and sin no more, you know, or at least try their best not to. So, praise the Lord. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your website? What can they find over there? Can they get that revival list over there, brother?
Yeah, they can sign up for our free revival list, which goes out every week. And, of course, we discuss these kind of things that we're talking about today. The other thing people might be interested in, I've got a book out.
Okay.
It's called Survive the Depression. And so if they go over to revivalschool.com, they'll just see a picture of the book there. They can click on that. But there's a lot of free stuff on our website. You know, there's an article there called The Four Predictions, which is talking about, you know, the predictions that we published in 2006 and 2007, talking about how the Depression was about to start. And
well,
just things like that. There's a whole lot
book.
Of stuff on there about that.
I want to talk about your book for a second. We haven't got much time, and I don't mean to interrupt you, but I didn't realize that you'd just written a book. You said this is How to Survive This Great, This New Depression.
Yes, it's called Survive the Depression. It's available on Amazon.com if people want to go over there. You know, it's just over $5, so it's very cheap.
Really?
We want people to be able to get a copy easily, you know.
Right,
and,
right.
So,
well, praise the Lord. Let me talk to the people
depression.
For a minute. Saints out there, I really, listen to this. This man's, the book's not much. I strongly suggest that $5, is that what you said? $5, that's, you know, most of you use that more than that for a night out on the town or for when you go get a cup of coffee or something. Some of you people go to Starbucks and spend $10 or $15 just for coffee. But praise the Lord. So get a book that might just help, that if you, it would help you get through this time. I know the Bible is what you need, but I strongly suggest you get this book. We got about a minute left. What do you want to say to the world?
Well, yeah, I mean, when they go on Amazon, they can just click, it says such and such new for, I think it's $5.40-something.
Wow.
They'll see it down there. So just get yourself a copy. It is full of a lot of the kind of stuff we've been talking about today, and, you know, that's probably the most complete thing I've got to offer.
Okay.
As far as talking about this kind of stuff. But, yeah, the website, again, is revivalschool.com, and we have a free email list that go, you know, sends out 3 or 4 emails per week on all this
right.
kind of revival type of stuff or prophecies and things like that. So,
well, praise the Lord. Thank you so much for being on with me, long distance and everything, but I really pray that the Lord blesses you and the work that you're doing, and he blesses you for this program, because we need to get the message that you're preaching out. So thank you so much, and I'm going to have to say goodbye and shalom to you right now. Bye-bye.
Thanks, brother.
All right, bye-bye.
God bless.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Praise the Lord, folks. I've got about a minute left. Yeah. You should go back. If you go to our radio archives, you can find the last two programs that I did with him. One is The Gospel Been Lost and How to Survive the Coming Collapse or something like that. You need to go listen to those programs. He predicted, and we talked about, that this collapse was going to come. In fact, it did come, which a lot of us did know. But I think part of the problem is people are not grasping the fact that, yes, it is here. It's not just going to go away. It's here. It's going to last. And so the best way to get ready is repent, get on your face to the Lord, and like he says, follow the gospel, support the poor, dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I just pray that these words tonight just get heavy on everybody's heart, and amen and amen. Well, gotta go. Lord our God, Father King of the Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Lord bless you and keep you, and the Lord's face shines upon you and is gracious to you and gives you peace. Until next week, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.
MistressAmerica.com reports gold prices rose near $875 an ounce, then consolidated above $850 an ounce on profit-taking Thursday as the dollar rebounded from three-month lows. Gold closed in New York down $14.30 to $853.10. Silver fell 40 cents to $10.96. Faced with the threat of deflation, the Fed may be trying to drive the dollar lower to spur inflation, reports Merck. More at SwissAmerica.com.
Recession, inflation, market volatility. What do you do to protect your money? Call Swiss America to send you a free education on gold investing. Gold offers you safety, liquidity, and excellent profit potential. Gold is the only asset that's not someone else's liability. The DVD, booklet, and newsletter are free. The knowledge you'll gain is invaluable.
Call Swiss America toll-free at 800-289-2646. That spells 800-BUYCOIN. 800-289-2646. 800-BUYCOIN.
Can your family survive a food shortage lasting 2 weeks, 6 months, or maybe longer? Sound far-fetched? We live in precarious times. There is an ever-increasing possibility of food shortages caused by terrorist attacks, natural disasters, truck strikes, or monetary collapse. You owe it to yourself and family to prepare, and you can by getting a supply of our long-storing, freeze-dried, dehydrated foods. Our foods are time-tested to store for decades, require a minimum of time and energy to prepare while maintaining superior nutritional value, freshness, and taste. Our foods were designed for the space program and are in constant use today by our own nuclear submarine service. Contact the Freeze Dry Guy today at freezedryguy@landsat.com. That's freezedryguy@lanset.com or call 530-260.